Chapter 3. The Fallen Phoenix. The Heliopolis was in a ruinous state. Shattered tiers of marble seats crowded the dark. In times past, the followers of Fulgrim had gathered upon them to hear their Primarch speak, before he fell to darkness and took his legion with him. Now, pageantry and light had been cast out by decay and dereliction. The great windows in the dome were dark, their shutters closed from neglect rather than by necessity. A thick layer of dust coated everything, and the air reeked thickly of sweat and stale musk. Bones were scattered about amid toppled fireballs. They were mostly baseline human, but here and there were the skeletons of space marines, identifiable by their greater size, the solidly fused bones of their ribcage, and the tattered remains of black carapace clinging to them. Shell holes in the marble told of a battle long ago. The crater's large circumferences had the signature blast patterns of bolt detonation in soft stone. Space Marine had fought Space Marine here, though when and why Gilliman could not guess. Perhaps there had been a last stand of Empress children loyal to Terra, though it could just as easily have been a clash between rival warbands decades later. It was impossible to tell. The mosaics on the ceiling were full of holes, the faces all smashed in. Hooks between the figures held bent banner poles. Shreds of triumphal silk standards moved in the ship's breath. When whole, these flags had proudly commemorated thousands of victories in the Emperor's name, but now they were as spoilt as the oaths of the warriors who had won them. A rare, complete example stood out amid the rags. The devices on it were smirched with filth. That was worse, in a way. Silence made the Heliopolis its domain. Vox reports chattered in Gilliman's helm, telling of goals almost accomplished, and bringing the clamour of war into the dead auditorium. But the racket was contained by his helmet. The silence was stronger, pressing in hard upon his ceramite faceplate and distancing Gilliman from the men fighting in his name. At the centre of the Heliopolis was a ring dominated by a black throne. Gilliman recalled standing there, beside his brother, and speaking in the days when all this madness was inconceivable. A cone of soft light ignited and fell onto it, casting shadows from chunks of rubble and bringing an eerie shine from the black terrazzo of the flooring. Gilliman descended the steps slowly from the Phoenix Gate, down the main stairs whose once shining finish had been scratched dull. The battle cries of the Aurora chapter, the war oaths of the Nova Marines, and the howling of the Doom Eagles all echoed in his helmet. A burst of loud static signaled an explosion. A signifier rune in Gilliman's helm blinked green. The Aurora chapter had knocked out the ship's navigatorium. Garbled reports from their captains competed with the other incoming traffic, ecstatic with hard-won victory, signalling their withdrawal. He overheard jubilant calls for teleport lock, and then they were gone. Other signifiers glowed dull red around the top of his faceplate display, representing his strike team's remaining targets. Two more critical systems, two more green runes, and they might escape this yet. But his men needed more time.
"Continue with your objectives, my sons," he spoke clearly into his vox pickup. "Fall back upon their completion. The Emperor watch over you."
He cut his vox. The Heliopolis's malevolent silence rushed into his helmet. Gilliman reached the last step and paused at the edge of the inner circle. The last of his heavy footsteps echoed to nothing. The light was unclean, some warp effect obscuring the far side of the Heliopolis from his vision. He was vulnerable here. This was the stage his fallen brother had chosen for their final confrontation, the derelict site of Fulgrim's lost glories.
"Fulgrim! I am here! Fulgrim! Your brother, Rabute Gilliman, stands in the Heliopolis again. Will you not greet me?"
Gilliman's vox-amplified voice echoed around the Heliopolis, each repeat growing with sadness, until it became a sobbing caricature. The effect disappointed Gilliman.
"My once brother, your cheap sorcery cannot upset me. Come out and face me if you dare, Or have you become as cowardly as you are debauched?
There was a metallic rattle and a rasping of scaled skin over stone that echoed around the outer row of seats. Gilliman squinted, but the light before him cheated his vision, allowing him to see only into the circle.
"I hear you, Fulgrim," he cried. "Come out into the light."
This time, Fulgrim replied. His voice was as mellifluous as it always had been, but the neediness that had always lurked at the back of his words had come to the fore, a poison masquerading as confidence.
"Why are you in such a hurry?" he said, his whisper filling the Heliopolis. "Your strategy is to play for time, is it not? To allow your sons, in their fine new paints, to cripple this ship. They look so colourful now, Gilliman, so much less dull than blue, blue, blue. How was it to break up your legion, Gilliman? Did it hurt?"
"Come and face me. Let us settle our differences honourably."
"Do you want to talk?"
Fulgrim, still unseen, tittered.
"About what? A little family reunion? You and I have nothing in common. We never did, and now we have even less. I serve the true powers of this universe, while you languish under the dead hand of our father." "You are so predictable, Robute," he laughed. "So dull, so stolid. Boring old Robute. You were the unloved child, while the brighter stars got all a father's attention. Overlooked until the end, and then when you were needed, you were not there. It must have stung, brother, to be so outshone. Perturabo did not enjoy it, I know. Did you?"
Gilliman peered hard through the light. It responded to his prodigious will, its obscuring effect lessened, and he caught a hint of sinuous movement on the far side of the circle.
"Our father honoured me, always," shouted Gilliman across the empty chamber.
Fulgrim laughed, louder and louder, until the Heliopolis filled with wild mirth that seemed to issue from a thousand throats.
"Oh, forgive me! That is so precious! Do you not remember my eagle, dear Robute? It was I who was honoured, not you."
The rasping of the scales drew closer. Luminous green eyes glinted on the other side of the inimical light. Gilliman set himself and stood tall.
"My legion may not have won your plaudits, Fulgrim, but I chose the slow and steady road, and that was the better way. You were always racing toward perfection, away from your fear of failure. Your fear made you run right into the arms of damnation."
"Failure?" Fulgrim scoffed. "Damnation? I have not failed. I am not damned."
Fulgrim slithered into the light.
"I am saved." "For the love of Terra," whispered Gilliman.
Gilliman had seen picked captures of his brother from the siege of the Imperial Palace on Terra. He had viewed them many times, noting the changes wrought upon his sibling as dispassionately as he could, fighting back the revulsion he felt at the sight. Reports and the occasional image of his sibling had surfaced from his reavings since. The image on the Phoenix Gate had been no surprise. He knew what to expect, but faced with Fulgrim in the flesh, he struggled to contain his dismay. The Phoenician's legs were gone, replaced with a long serpent's tail. His torso and face had become elongated, his chest altered to accommodate an additional pair of arms. Despite his obscene form, everything was weirdly perfect. The muscles in his bare chest were exquisitely defined. His skin was a gorgeous shade of lilac. The snake skin of his lower half shone with jeweled colour, and he moved with grace to shame the Eldari. But all this was a perversion of his former beauty, if not of the very idea of beauty itself. It was too much, so perfect in its awful twisting of the human form that it went beyond the ability of the mind to process. Fulgrim's new shape provoked revulsion by its very nature, while awing with the artfulness by which it had been done. By design, he was made to arouse and repulse equally. His head in particular was changed, long and crowned with horns that rose crimson from his shock of white hair. His face, however, remained his own, a sickening joke to crown his dark transcendence. Seeing the features of his brother melded to this monster brought tears to Gilliman's eyes. Finely wrought ornaments jangled on Fulgrim's limbs. Soft leather straps held long gloves in place on his right arms. The left arms were painted with delicate patterns, his fingers hung with chains, and their nails stained clashing shades. Vile sigils decorated the buckles of his harness. More were tattooed upon his skin. Fulgrim rose up on his banded tail, holding his forearms wide in the sickly light of the Heliopolis.
"Behold, my brother, see what the Emperor made, the Prince of Pleasure, has improved upon. Am I not perfection? I was made to be a slave, but now I am free, and the companion to a greater god than our father can ever be."
"The Emperor is not a god," said Gilliman.
The ship quaked. A signifier in Gilliman's helmet turned from red to green. The portside void generators had been disabled. Data screed informed him the fourth company of the Iron Snakes was making a fighting withdrawal.
"Do you still believe that?" said Fulgrim.
He inched forwards, swaying hypnotically.
"He always did protest too much about that. You think I am a traitor, I know. You think I am selfish and deluded, but no more so than dear, dear father. He gave me so much, not least a taste for treachery."
Fulgrim leaned closer, close enough for his hot, perfumed breath to caress Gilliman's armoured face. The cloying stink of it penetrated his breathing grill, making him gag. There was a scent of something rotten beneath the melange of spices, one note of decay in a bouquet of opulence.
"There is the truth," thought Gilliman, "the miasma of corruption, a murdered corpse hidden in a bed of flowers."
"Join with me," said Fulgrim seductively. "You must be tired of all this strife. We can bring an end to war and revel together in sweet excess for all eternity. I can show you things, pleasures you would never have dreamed existed. You think of the warp as a hell, but it can be a heaven also. Together, we can usher in an age of delight for all mankind that will never end."
"Never," said Gilliman. "You have been deceived. I will not follow you into darkness."
He stepped backwards, his hand going to the hilt of the Gladius Incandor. The Primarchs were mighty beings and great in stature, but swollen with the power of chaos, Fulgrim overtopped Gilliman by almost a meter.
"It is you who has been deceived, Rabute," said Fulgrim.
"Look at what you have become, and you will see the wages of disloyalty."
"You speak to me of loyalty,"
Fulgrim tuttered and shook his long, warped head.
"And where do your loyalties lie, Lord Commander? You were late to the palace, were you not? Delayed. Always your love for your own kingdom trumps your so-called loyalty to our father. Like a little emperor playing at being daddy in the sand, making tiny empires. You would have saved the 500 worlds and lost the million of our father. Pathetic."
A long, forked tongue flittered over his painted lips.
"How are your 500 worlds now, brother? How many are left? 400? 3? I hear Angron and Lorgar had a rare time bringing down the bastions of your puny realm and slitting the throats of your people.
Gilliman's anger ran hot.
I will not bend my knee to your masters. These gods you and the others profess to worship are not gods. They are monsters, nothing more. There can be no rapprochement between us, no reconciliation. You have become the tool of the enemy, and so I must kill you.
You have come to kill me? Really? How amusing. Because I have come to kill you, said Fulgrim, with mocking surprise.
He clapped his upper pair of hands.
What a coincidence. You do realize I need no starship to travel the void.
He gestured at his body, his four hands moving with obscene, suggestive precision.
I am no longer a thing of this realm of ash and dust, but a radiant creature of the warp.
He pulled a moo of sympathy.
Oh, I am so sorry, but this was a trap for you, Rabute. The whole thing, from my first raids to your supposed victory at Zolko, and you have fallen into it.
Since the first indication of Fulgrim turning to fight here, Gilliman had known he had been outplayed, but he would not give his brother the satisfaction of knowing this. He steeled his heart and prepared to fight.
I will not be turned.
I never thought you would, said Fulgrim, sweetly.
Another shudder passed up the pride of the Emperor. The rune denoting the strike against the Engenarium turned green. Corvo would be pulling his chapter back.
You can run now, if you want, said Fulgrim. I believe your warriors have accomplished what you sent them to do. This vessel cannot pursue you. Some of you might even live. I do not care. All of you will bow before Slaanesh before the end.
Enough, said Gilliman.
He drew the Gladius Incandor in his right hand. The hand of Dominion sparked into life on his left, an oily field of blue light encasing its massive robotic fingers and underslung bolt guns. Raising the flat of his blade to the muzzle of his helm, he saluted his brother. He thumbed a switch, and a sheath of energy covered the blade to match that of his fist.
You are staying, said Fulgrim. No dramatic teleportation, no strategic withdrawal. You actually want to fight someone you cannot hope to beat. Well, 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 you are beginning to surprise me, Rabute. I never thought you had it in you. Perhaps you are not so boring after all.
Honor demands I slay you.
Fulgrim stretched out his arms. Blades rose from nothing, sprouting from his clenched fists, black vapors boiling off their metal as they were forced into being. The swords were mismatched in form, and every one a different pastel hue. Bright poisons dripped from their edges.
Honor will get you killed!
Fulgrim raised his own blades to his face, the edges ringing off one another. There was no mockery to the salute.
So it is, brother. We come to the end. With you dead, our brothers will follow one by one. The Imperium cannot last without your guidance. It is you who holds the whole crumbling thing together.
He smiled sadly.
Dull as you are, you were among the best of us. I almost feel sorry to kill you. If only because you will not see the triumph of the true powers of the universe and know the liberation they bring.
Swift as a striking viper, Fulgrim attacked, all four blades driving down at his brother Primarch so quickly that they did not seem to pass through the intervening air. Gilliman caught them on the edge of the Gladius in Kandor. Its field generator smoked to the effort of halting them. The resulting eruption of energy threw both Primarchs backwards. Fulgrim attacked again. Gilliman cried out as one blade found its way past his parries and left a smoking groove in the ceramite around his left arm. He would not win this fight.
Theel! Andros! Voxed Gilliman. Now!
There was a sound like a sigh that turned into a rumbling groan. The Heliopolis boomed with conflicting resonances, and the Phoenix Gate exploded inwards, showering the room with gobbets of molten bronze. The ultramarines of the first and second companies came charging in, bolters firing at the demon Primarch battling their lord.
"At last, your true colours," said Fulgrim. "For all your talk of honour, you will not face me alone."
Angered, he rained a flurry of blows down on Gilliman, driving the Primarch back up one step, then two. The bolts aimed at the demon Primarch were turned aside by diabolical art, and he stood in the full face of the Ultramarine's attack.
"My sons are here to greet yours," he said. "Let them join the revel."
Parrying Gilliman's attacks with insolent ease, Fulgrim threw back his head. His jaws opened wide enough to swallow a man whole, and he let out a shrieking ululation. From the far side of the Heliopolis, a harrowing, discordant noise answered the call of the demon Primarch. From the upper tiers of the Heliopolis's seats marched the twisted warriors of the Emperor's children, many bearing sonic weapons from which came the thrumming of destructive music.
"Now we shall see whose children will survive," snarled Fulgrim, and came at his brother.
Gilliman countered and parried, his mighty gauntlet batting aside Fulgrim's swords as his own hunted through the cage of steel Fulgrim wove with his four blades, seeking out the tainted flesh behind. Fulgrim snarled as the tip of Gilliman's gladius nicked his skin. Rising up on his tail, he swept down with his swords in quick succession. Gilliman's weapons found them all, turning them aside with economical movements. Nevertheless, he was sorely pressed. He had fought demons of every kind on many worlds and bested them all. Fulgrim, however, was an unholy blend of Primarch and demon. In him, the energy of the warp was married to the wisdom of ancient sciences. He was part material god, part immaterial demon lord, and his power was great. Gilliman cut and fainted, using the hand of dominion to catch the sword wielded by Fulgrim's lower left arm. The unholy metal of the blade cut into the thick ceramite of the gauntlet, and corrosive poison spattered the armor of reason, eating into it with smoking ferocity. Pain somehow afflicted Gilliman through his armor, as if his war plate itself were hurt. A spicy agony burned up the nerves in his arm from his interface sockets. He gritted his teeth and twisted the gauntlet. Energy crackled and banged, and the sword snapped in two. Ichor pumped from its hollow innards. Strings of flesh tore free as Gilliman cast the broken tip aside. Fulgrim screamed as if his limb had been ripped off, and he recoiled. Gilliman fought against his own pain to slash hard with the gladius in Candor, cutting deeply into Fulgrim's swordless arm.
"How dare you!"
Fulgrim screamed, rearing back. He lunged at his enemy and crashed bodily into him, knocking Gilliman from his feet. The Invictarus suzerains thundered down the steps to join their lord, forming a shield wall about him as he scrambled up. But Fulgrim slithered into them, barging them from their feet and slaughtering them contemptuously, his swords lopping limbs off with every strike.
"You will die!"
shouted Gilliman, and he surged past his last bodyguard as Fulgrim's swords punched through the Space Marine shield, armor, and body. He swung hard with his gauntlet, but Fulgrim was too quick and weaved to the side. The Hand of Dominion punched down and into the marble steps, pulverizing three of them. Gilliman spun around, anticipating Fulgrim's next strike, but the demon had gone. He searched for his brother in the conflict. Their two armies had met, and their struggles filled the Heliopolis side to side. His warriors and the Emperor's children were intermingled, the blue armor of the Ultramarines dotted within a sea of clashing colors and battleplate, decorated with the stretched skins of the dead. Cones of sound visibly tortured the air, blasting Gilliman's warriors from their feet. Blood fountained from breathing grills as dying Space Marines coughed up shattered internal organs. A knot of white-helmed Terminators stood back to back, dealing death to any traitor that strayed near, while a wall of Ultramarine Second Company brothers advanced, guns booming, pushing back insane warriors. War was everywhere, desperate and wild. The situation in the void was mirrored within the Heliopolis. His men were outnumbered. They would die.
First theoretical, Gilliman thought. Fulgrim is a prime evil in this world. First practical, I will kill him. Second theoretical, he countered. You are angry. Second practical, you will throw your own life and those of your men away for nothing. You have failed in this campaign. Retreat.
A memory of Conall Gilliman, his adoptive father, flashed in his mind.
Control your humours, Conall had told him. You are mightier in every regard than any man, and that includes your passions. Master them, or you will fail.
Temper. There was always his temper. For most of his life, Rabute Gilliman had kept his emotions in check, but there had been notable occasions when he had lost his head. At Kalth, and when Sotha was attacked. Or when he had arrived late to Terra. Or the early days of the Scouring. He would add this day to that record. Beneath his commanding exterior, Gilliman was seething with fury.
Fulgrim! He bellowed. Face me!
A whip-fast motion flickered to his side. Fulgrim sped through the melee, coming from the left. Gilliman barely had time to raise his sword before Fulgrim crashed into him, snarling incoherently, knocking him backwards.
You hurt me, you corpse master's lapdog!
The last vestiges of Fulgrim's humanity melted from his face as it transformed into a mask of pure hatred.
No one hurts me! No one beats me!
He wrapped his tail around his brother Primarch, constricting him with such force that his armor plate began to crack. Casting aside one sword, Fulgrim reached down and grasped Gilliman's head.
You wanted to face me, so face me, he said,
wrenching free Gilliman's helmet, exposing his naked flesh to the air. The stink of his corrupted brother made Gilliman gag. His head swam as the demon Primarch's scent invaded his nose and throat, unmoderated by his battle helm systems.
Pathetic! Cried Fulgrim.
He uncurled, flinging Gilliman aside. His wounded arm was already healing, crackling warp energies working in tandem with his Primarch's physiology to make him whole again. He conjured swords from poisoned mists to fill his empty hands and flew at the master of Macragge. Gilliman staggered upright, gasping. Every breath poured more of Fulgrim's lethal perfume into his lungs, a poison so potent that it taxed his superhuman body. He parried and parried again, but he could land no counterstrike and was forced back up the stairs. A blow flung his arm wide. He never saw the blade that cut him coming. A cold kiss across his throat, followed by searing agony. Arterial blood sprayed from his ruined neck. He clamped his hand to the wound, but it gaped beneath armored fingers, and the blood would not stop. Poison crawled in where his blood flooded out. Already it affected him, numbing his lips first and making his eyes heavy. With supreme effort, Rabute Gilliman raised the gladius in Candor for the last time.
Ow!
He mouthed. His vocal cords were severed. Blood spilled from his mouth in place of words.
I see the mark of Cor Pharaon's athame.
Fulgrim swayed as he approached.
He could never turn you, but the cut he inflicted is a scar on the warp that could never heal. It is as great a weakness as your rectitude.
Fulgrim smiled with lips coated in poison paint.
Or I should say, was. Here the avenging sun meets his end.
He smashed at Gilliman's sword so hard it flew from his limp grip into the heaving battle. Fulgrim raised his swords for the killing strike.
Say hello to father for me.
A storm of fire blasted down the stairs, bolt rounds streaking by, followed by burning streams of plasma. Fulgrim screeched.
The unearthly field that shielded him shrieked and flickered, splitting his image. He screamed as a blaze of incandescent gas pierced his protection and burned his side.
"The Primarch! To the Primarch!"
roared Captain Andros in anguish. Gilliman sank to his knees, unable to speak. His perceptions became fragmentary. Warriors in blue threw themselves at the reeling demon prince, only to be carved up into red chunks in mid-air. His sons tossed their lives away to spare a few drops of his blood. Names and faces flashed through his mind. So many bold and honourable men cast down by betrayal. His brothers unwittingly corrupted or undone by personal failing. Others slain. His sons dying in battle. So many of his sons! A roaring blackness encroached. He fell, but he hit nothing. It felt like floating. A perfumed ocean lapped at him. Joy rode upon its waves.
"Lies," he thought. "Lies. I cannot die."
Gilliman forced open his eyes. He was on his back, looking up at the ceiling, his limbs deliciously numb. A treacherous pleasure thrilled his mind as the poison worked on him. Captain Andros was at his side. A wall of blue ceramite surrounded him.
"Now, damn you all! Now! Emergency teleport! Emergency teleport!"
shouted Andros, his bolter barking.
"He is panicking," Gilliman thought. "Andros is panicking."
The howling thrum of sonic weaponry tore away the last of Andros's words, and his head vanished in a mist of red. Chained explosions boomed around Gilliman. Part of the wall of men guarding him was knocked down. A body sailed through the air. The ultramarine's blue of its power armor cracked open and stained red. Battle roared. A dozen bolters fired near his feet as desperate hands dragged and pulled, hauling him up the steps towards the ruined Phoenix Gate. His armor caught on the corpses of his sons, each knock a spike of agony in his ruined neck. Blood poured down his windpipe into his lungs, making him splutter feebly. He was going to drown in his own blood.
"Retreat! Retreat!" called a voice. "The day is lost!" "Theel," thought Gilliman, "is that you?"
He could hear Fulgrim's silken, demonic laughter drawing nearer.
"How many ultramarines have died to save me?"
An instrument chimed, louder than the bleating alarms of Gilliman's battered armour.
"They have locus lock, my lord," someone else said, close enough that Gilliman felt their breath on his ear, though he could not turn his head to see him. "We will have you safe soon."
Gilliman tried to place a face to the voice. He knew many of his sons, but this one eluded him. His mind was filling with black fog.
"We're losing him," said the voice, rising in panic. "Where's the teleport? Get us out of here! Get us out of here!"
"Theel," thought Gilliman. "Definitely Theel."
A flash of blinding light and the bang of air displacement stole Rabute Gilliman away from the blades of his brother. Time hung, caught between an instant and an eternity. Gilliman ceased to be. For a moment, there was peace.
"Get us out of here!"
Another roar, and the needling discomfort of rematerialization. Gilliman was thrust back through the veil into the world of men, and he fell to the teleport deck with a resounding clang, jarring his wound. Fiery poison sketched out his circulatory system, thrusting the realization of his own mortality upon him. He was going to die! In his final moments, Gilliman began to panic. He did not fear his death, but what it meant for the Imperium. Andros had been right, and now Andros was dead.
"I cannot die," he thought. "I cannot die. I will not."
He exerted his formidable will to keep his body alive. A fruitless effort.
His dispassionate nature did not desert him, not even at the very end. As he railed against his fate, he rationally noted the failure of his organs, the dark ring thickening about his sight, and the pleasurable pain that faded into a numb bliss creeping towards his hearts. It was as if he were reviewing progress reports on the construction of new public buildings. Faces crowded around the narrowing well of his vision. Helmets were cast aside to reveal harrowed faces.
"They mourn me already," he realized. "I am dead. I cannot die now. Not now. There is too much to do. Too much. Too much. What will Russ do without me? Or the Khan? Too much."
Ultramarine shouted for their apothecaries. Something tugged at his ruined breastplate. A white gauntlet flashed past his dimming eyes. The cool relief of drugs pushed back the exquisite burn of Fulgrim's poison for a breath, but they could not stop it, and it surged back anew. His pulse slowed. Coloured spots whirled around his eyes.
"Father," he mouthed.
Poisoned blood frothed at the gash in his neck.
"Father, who will guide them now?"
"What is he saying?" cried an anguished voice. "What does he say?"
"Father," thought Gilliman, "save me."
His heart quivered one last time, drawing themselves in for a further beat that would not come. The voices of his sons sounded far away. Darkness enveloped him. His heart relaxed. The flow of blood ceased. He stood upon a precipice, a roaring, terrifying sea of souls haunted by the laughing of mad gods churned all around, red and ugly.
"Father!"
Gilliman shouted, his voice free from the prison of his flesh. His sons could not hear him now, but he was heard. There was a cold, golden light and an end to pain. The roaring sea vanished. Sorrow engulfed his soul. Rabute Gilliman was no more. The immensity of the void is impossible to understand. The layered infinities of the Empyrean, even more so. Only death can encompass them both.